I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
And welcome to the podcast. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We have got an interview today, and this one is with one of the authors of a book put out by Museum Hack. And if you have not heard of Museum Hack, it is a company that offers alternative museum tours. And we're going to get into that in the interview for a bit more of an explanation of what that company is. But in short, their approach to museums and history is very irreverent and very playful.
Based on the success of Museum Hack's history tours, their team decided to write a book. One of the authors, Haley Milliman, joined Holly to talk about the book, which is titled Museum Hack's Guide to History's Fiercest Females.
Full disclosure. So I mentioned at one point in the course of this interview a Museum Hack tour of the Met that I went on. That was back in September. That tour was comped by the company, so that was a freebie for me, and I took my husband.
Well, and I might as well just disclose that I was invited to go on a tour, but I could not make the schedule work.
I will say for a museum like the Met in particular, they are not paying me to say anything about them. But it was perfect for my husband because that museum is overwhelming the first time you go.
Mm-hmm.
And he had never been. So it was great to have someone go, here are some cool things in this museum. And it made it a lot more easy for him to kind of take in that incredible large space in a way that we had a helper. It was really lovely.
We also have one other quick note, especially if you are listening in a classroom or with younger listeners. There are a couple of words in this episode that Holly and I don't typically say. There are words that are commonly allowed on broadcast television and are in the context of these tours, but everybody has different boundaries of what language they would prefer to use around their kids and students. So if you think that might apply to you, great idea to check this one out first to make sure everything is okay for your listeners. There's also an offer that Museum Hack is really graciously extending to our listeners at the end of the interview. The name of that tour contains the words that we're talking about, so we can't just bleep it out because then you wouldn't know the name of the tour.
Yeah, so be sure to go ahead and listen all the way to the end before you make your decision about whether you want to share this with younger history buffs in your life. But we will jump right in to Haley and I discussing both Museum Hack and this book. So first, now that I have you, Haley, will you just tell us a little bit about what Museum Hack is?
Yeah, so we are a company that leads unconventional tours of the world's best museums. We were founded about, 6 years ago now by Nick Gray. Nick has a really funny story. So basically, he had always kind of hated museums. He thought they were super boring. He never, ever went to one. And then he was going on a date with this girl, first date. And she suggested going to the Met with him at night. And so they went, and we like to say that Nick fell in love on that date, but not unfortunately with the girl, but with the museum. And so something about something about being there with all of the lights, and the girl who he was with, the girl he's on the date with, told him kind of all of these stories about her, you know, favorite pieces at the Met, and having that personal connection where he was hearing her experience of it rather than just reading the placards or kind of hearing an impersonal account of it really connected with him. And so, like I said, he totally fell in love with museums, and became obsessed with them and spent all of his free time at museums and basically just kind of started bringing all of his friends on little mini tours for himself. He'd go and learn about things he wanted to do, then would tell his friends basically here's these interesting pieces of artwork that I'm into. So it started from there, and then we've grown to a company, I think, with over 75 employees now. We do tours in 6 different cities. We have so much fun, and we basically just take people, bring them to the museum, and all of our tours are very personalized, very centered along that initial experience that Nick had, which is learning what a person loves about the museum versus just learning about all of the artifacts and the art and a laundry list of names. It's really about what's the experience and the personal connection that everybody has. So we do that. That's our kind of main umbrella. We also do corporate tours. We do scavenger hunts. And we have now just written a book. So we're kind of doing a lot of different things, all about sharing stories about history and art and culture and science that we're passionate about.
I love it because it makes art and art history so alive for people in a completely new way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's because it's these pieces, they live there, but it's bringing, it's bringing them to life. And it's really leading with that, why does this matter? And not why does it matter in the large sense, but why does it matter to you and to me and just sitting here talking about it? Which I think we found just makes all the difference in terms of engagement for an audience.
So you mentioned that you have a book now, which you are the main writer on. How did you guys decide that okay, we've got this tour thing down, now it's time to make a book?
Yeah. So, we were sitting, and first of all, I'll just say that it's a very collaborative effort. I don't want to take full credit for writing it in any way. But we basically, we're sitting down and we were talking about how, we're so thrilled that we're able to do these tours in 6 different cities across the United States. But that being said, that still leaves many, many people who aren't in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago, who just aren't getting to come on a Museum Hack tour, and aren't getting to experience that type of storytelling. So we really started last year kind of making an effort to tell the same sorts of stories that we tell in museums on our blog, first and foremost. Our blog has been pretty a standard kind of corporate blog, talking about promotions and work we had done with museums, but not really the storytelling aspect. So when I came on board, we started doing storytelling blog pieces just to kind of experiment and see are people into this? Do people like this? And then with the goal of making eventually Museum Hack a household name. And it became really clear that people did the blog post, and did really resonate with that storytelling, and that storytelling not only resonated on the tours in museums, but also in written work as well. And so then we were this is we've been doing the blog. This is great. Let's figure out another medium where we can not only have the stories, but also have this original artwork, and kind of package it all up into something that you can hold in your hands. that's kind of how it came about initially.
So this first book is all about women, and I'm wondering how you decided. It seems like the decision-making process is pretty collaborative. How did you all decide that was the best plan for your first book to focus on women?
Yeah, so it's definitely like a very collaborative process. I will say though that I was pretty selfish in like pulling for women. I think those are like the stories that really resonated with me as I was writing on the blog that I just like loved writing. And since I was kind of spearheading the project initially, I was like, okay, well, when we're coming to a topic, like these are the ones that I love. So, so let's go with those. But also, you know, we had looked and seen what was resonating with our audience in terms of stories that we were sharing on Facebook and Instagram and that type of thing. And hands down, we would see that like almost every single time we shared a story about a woman, no matter like what the background, no matter if she was in science, if she was, you know, like a historical figure, a political figure in art, they would just always resonate so deeply with our audiences. And so it just became kind of like a no-brainer. And also, obviously, within like the last year or two, the climate on recognizing women's achievements, acknowledging the struggles and the pain that women have gone through, as well as their many and like myriad contributions to society, has been such an important part of the conversations that are happening worldwide over the last year. So it's also just kind of resonated and fit really well in with that.
Now, I have been on a museum hack tour, and I know that it's as you said, it's very personal, and it's got this nice casual air to it. And I'm wondering how that influenced how you wrote the book. Were you always intentionally thinking, we have to keep that kind of tone to the whole book, or did you play with other different ideas?
Yeah, we definitely wanted to keep that tone. So one of the things that we work with our guides and then with our writers is we believe very strongly that people need to be kind of entertained before they can be educated. And that goes into like, you know, entertainment isn't necessarily just like, oh, let's, you know, make people laugh. It's also like establishing that connection, right? And so a lot of times it's done through humor, you know, because a lot of times there's like funny scenarios and funny stories. But sometimes that entertainment piece is done by creating like very meaningful personal connections as well. So while we do like tend to work with humor a lot, it also lands on like things that really resonate with the writer or with the tour guide. And so, yeah, it was absolutely 100% a very conscious choice on our part to make the stories resonate with the writers, and to like lead from a place of like what's important to the writers and what do they want to tell about each of these women. And that's a lot of what the writing process looks like, is like each of the writers being like, okay, you know, I know that I'm writing this story about this woman, but what do I want to tell about her? Versus like, you know, we could list off a litany of facts for everybody, but we really want to tell, like, make it a story and to make it powerful to like foster that connection with the audience. It's like, okay, what resonated with me? So yeah, 100% like the same approach that we have with leading with entertainment and then bringing in the piece of education. So everything we write, we want to, you know, make people interested and want make them teach them something and have them want to learn more. But we believe that that becomes so much more powerful after you have that kind of initial connection and through entertainment.
So it's interesting because the stories in the book are still pretty comprehensive. It's not like people have focused on one thing to the exclusion of the overall story. So I'm wondering what the research process is like and how you balance those two things.
Yeah, so it's definitely personalized for the writers. So I'll speak to mine first. I think what I tend to do, and so typically, I guess I'll back up. Typically for each of the women, we're going through like a high level kind of overview of their life. But that being said, none of our stories are that long. So, you know, they're like around 2,000 to 3,000 words each. And so with each of these women, you could easily write multiple books on their whole lives and getting into like the nitty gritty of decision making and like a lot of the political nuance or, you know, what basically like the larger picture of what was going on around them. So while we are giving like an overview of their lives and like, I like to think of it as like kind of like a greatest hits or highlights of what they were going on and what they were kind of most known for and also what most resonated with the writer. And so for me, my process is kind of to just initially start out by reading just some short summaries of the person's life. So that might be like looking on Britannica or, you know, just like looking at like a very short synopsis of like, you know, what would you say about this woman in a page or two pages? And what I'll do is read a number of different sources that are kind of like that and see what sticks out to me. So like, what do I remember from the first couple of times that I've just done this profile of this person? And then when I think about the things that like resonate with me and that have stuck with me, that's where I'm going to dig deeper and try to tease out those parts of the story that I have that personal connection to.
And I know it actually sounds a lot like what we do when we're starting a research project on our show. So I appreciate that completely.
Yep.
Coming up, we're going to hear how Haley and her team work to keep their stories accurate, but still retain that tone that their tours have that tends to be a little bit lighter in nature. But first, we are going to take a quick sponsor break.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about Comfort Hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Thank you.
lot of what happens when we're doing research is that, you know, we're kind of trying to, like, tease out the realities of an event or a person's life from kind of the mythologized versions that get shared. And sometimes those one-pagers leave things out or they just gloss over the nuance of something. So I'm wondering how you make sure you're getting the accurate story, which sometimes will reveal itself to be much darker or more unsettling than we maybe were taught growing up. But you also keep the content pretty light. How do you work that out?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is handled on a case-by-case basis, and I do think that there are some stories where we always talk about, I guess for me, this resonates mostly at the end, right? Like, it's like at the end of the piece, we like to talk about having like a mic drop moment, right? Like of having something that's like, you know, like a punch at the end that's going to keep the story with the person. And you, having been on a museum hack tour, you think back to it, like our guides do that all the time. Like they'll end like on a joke or a high note, or like they'll have like a one-liner at the end before they like feed you off onto the next exhibit. And so that's a principle that we like to apply to the content that we write as well. But that being said, what that mic drop is really will vary from person to person. So like sometimes it is funny. Sometimes it's a funny mic drop because like the larger story surrounding this woman is like kind of ridiculous if there is just kind of humorous, but sometimes it's just not funny at all. Like sometimes we wrote about one woman, Anna Coanna, who was like her land was basically completely sacked by settlers, and she was from Haiti, and she, you know, like all of her people were slaughtered, and it's not funny. You know, there's not a lot of humor that you can take from the message of that story. So the ending of that story isn't funny because it's not funny. There's no humor in it. Instead, it's a call to reflect to people about, you know, why do we have a Columbus Day and we don't celebrate her? You know, why have you never heard her name before? And that's the mic drop of like, what's true to the story and what's true to the narrative of this person. And so ending on that kind of like mic drop moment will change depending on who it is and what we can take from them. We had another story about a transgender Native American warrior, and that is also not a funny story. It doesn't end with humor. It ends with a lot of sadness and a lot of pain. And so being true to that is very important to us as well.
So you've mentioned a couple stories, but I wanted to get from you maybe what two or three of the women that are in the book are your favorites or were your favorite either to research or write about or read about when you were, you know, kind of looking over what other people had written for the book. Like, which ones are the ones that really kind of hit your heart?
Yeah, so I love the story of Qingxi. I myself half Chinese. I think her story is so cool. I'm like, how can I adapt this into like a young adult fantasy novel? But I just think her story is so cool. She was a pirate who basically like ruled over the seas around China with the Red Flag Fleet. She just was like such a badass. And her story is so crazy. And we hear so much about so many like male pirates in the Caribbean, both fictional and fictional and real. But I had never heard of her before. And her story is just so cool. And she like just ended like her life. She didn't even get in trouble for being a pirate. Basically, she just got to like hang up her flag and then like open a gambling house and live to a ripe old age. So I think she's just like such a badass. And she like started off life on like a floating brothel. So she like truly like from the bottom to the top. And so she has always resonated with me. I love her story. I also wrote one about a queen named Tamiris, who basically like overtook like one of the world's like greatest conquerors at the time. She was just like beat him on the battlefield, and again, like never heard of her name. And then the story I was kind of referencing earlier about the person's name is Ashtish, and it's like a moniker, not an actual name. But that story was just like, it was extremely haunting. And another thing that I had never read about or really known anything about. And just learning about that really stuck with me. And again, like it stuck with me in a completely different way than learning about Qingxi and how like great her like life was. It was just a reminder of like why it's so important to tell these stories and why it's so important to reflect on a lot of narratives that have been silenced or just never, never featured in the first place.
Were there any that you had hoped you could include in the book that either got edited out or were just never going to be part of the project that maybe you are keeping to the side for the future?
Yeah, so many. There are so many. I'm a huge Hamilton fan, so I was going back and I'm like including one or three of the Schuyler sisters. I had one on Peggy there for like so long. Cause she also is like a total badass and like defended Eliza. She was like pregnant and like defended their family from, a Tory like hunting party. Like it was just, she's crazy. She's like actually like super badass. Not at all as characterized as she is in Hamilton musical. So I had Peggy in there for a while. There's another Revolutionary War story about Agent 355. There's so many. And so, yeah, there's a lot. There was definitely enough to fill like hundreds of books.
Yeah.
But we wanted to keep it we wanted to really, especially for this first one, just make sure that we were representing stories from all over the world and a bunch of different cultures. And so that was something that really was important to us, is making sure we have people from like all corners of the globe kind of represented as best we can. And so because of that, we had to sometimes like prioritize other people just to make sure that everybody's represented. And so hopefully for round two or three or four, we can include more.
Perfect. I'm wondering what you're hoping, you know, when people get this book and they're paging through it, when they're done with it, at least the initial round, what is your sort of dearest hope in terms of what their takeaway will be?
Yeah, I hope first and foremost that they're just like, wow, history is really fun. I have like personally always loved history, and I've always loved history because even before I worked with Museum Hack as like a young girl, I always sought out stories that I could connect with. I read like the Dear America Diaries as like an elementary school kid and like loved that. And that was like my first intro into history, was like learning these like fictionalized accounts of people who like lived in certain time periods. And I made that connection and then learned about the larger history. So beyond anything, I hope that people take away that history is super fascinating and really important. And then I also hope that they take away that like there are so many women out there who have accomplished so much and been done so many amazing things that we have never heard of. And it's so worthwhile to read about them and to learn about them and to find them, because they're literally in any part of the world, in any time period in history, they're amazing, badass women doing amazing things. And sometimes terrible things too, doing amazing things, doing terrible things, and just like living normally. And I think it's so important to like hear and find their stories.
Yeah, that's one of the things that always comes up on our show, and it kind of becomes my big soapbox issue of like, I want people to understand that no matter what they think they are living through or how unique the times we may be in are, something similar has always happened before, or there has always been someone like them before that they could identify with, or, you know, we're all making history all the time. So there is, the odds are good that someone out there has been through something similar or has dealt with something similar to what you're dealing with, whether that's on a personal scale or, you know, a national scale or a global scale.
Yep.
We've all been doing all kinds of things.
Yep.
you mentioned that there are certainly plenty of great women's stories that could fill many, many, many books. Do you guys have an eye already on what your future book projects will be?
Yes, we do. I can't, top secret, 100% reveal what it is. But I will say that we do have an eye and are just kind of like starting the process of considering what stories will be included. And I guess I will just like leave you with a tidbit that it'll be very suited to Museum Hack's like irreverent voice and passion for like engaging storytelling.
I love it.
I'll leave with that.
I love it.
This next segment of the interview is really casual because once Holly learned that Haley is a lifelong history buff, she just wanted to know what some of her favorite historical subjects are. Before we get into that, though, we are going to pause for a quick sponsor break. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about Comfort Hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet, and also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Now, just because you mentioned that you have loved history all your life, I'll hit you with the surprise question. I'm wondering, like, outside of this project and maybe even outside of women's history, is there something that is just one of your favorite pet topics in history?
Oh, my gosh. I like, go straight to Tudor England. I was, like, obsessed with Tudor England. And, like, I have so many books on Henry VIII and all of his wives. And like, I aced my AP Euro exam. I was just like, I was so into it. It was so fascinating. And I had different periods of time where I was like obsessed with each of the different wives and learning like all about them. And then also like Queen Elizabeth, like just basically that like whole specific branch of the family from Henry VIII to Elizabeth I. I was always just like, I could never stop reading about them. But then I also took Latin for a very long time. So Roman history and Greek history and like Greek and Roman mythology are also, I'm also very passionate about those as well. But I don't have quite as many history books about those as I do about the Tudors. I think I have like the most that were ever written. Just got them for Christmas for like years on end.
What is it about the Tudors that you love so much?
I honestly don't know. I think Elizabeth, like Elizabeth was like, and her mother, Anne Boleyn, were just like so fascinating to me. I think it's like something about, they were just like so powerful in such a unique way for the time. It just like really fascinated me. And it, I think women who like, or, and not even just necessarily women, but just people who have to play like games like that, like court intrigue games, are just so fascinating because I would be so bad at it. Like I was just like, I would never be able to like, I would never be able to play into like the palace intrigue. I would never be able to like with like learning about like how Elizabeth would like just like balance like marriage proposals for decades. I was like, I would never be able to do
no,
that.
Me
like,
either. I have joked on the show before that when I look at like the lives of royals, particularly in those types of scenarios where there are a lot of power grabs going on, where I'm like, who wants that job? Yeah. I don't understand it. I wouldn't want any part of any of that. I could not possibly handle it.
Yeah. I also always joke too, like my favorite foods are like bread and cheese. So like in all those books, I'd be like, they just sat at the table with like a hunk of bread and hard cheese. And I'm like, that sounds amazing. Like, I want to eat that for like every meal. So something.
I had a very similar thing as a kid, not from a history book, but reading Heidi, because they always went up into the mountains and, they always had bread and cheese and a bag of milk. And I would, for the longest time, that was all I wanted to eat because it was something I read in a thing that I thought was cool.
So, yeah, I know. I'm always like, oh yeah, like I would do really well in medieval England. Like, just like give me hard bread and cheese and I'd be happy. So.
I love it. On that yummy, yummy note, thank you so much, Haley. I really appreciate you taking time to talk about this project with us. It's such a fun read. And I think it's sort of, it's interesting because it's a great intro, I think, for people that maybe haven't looked at much of these histories in depth before or even at all. It's such a great little, like opening the door and going, here's what's actually cool about all this stuff. So I think your wish will come true in that people will walk away getting a better understanding of how interesting it all is.
Yeah, that's just my hope, that you something resonates with you and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to learn everything I can about this. And on that note, we just wanted to extend to your listeners, if anybody purchased a copy of the book between now and the end of February, you can send us an email copy of your receipt and you'll get a free ticket to any of our Badass Bitches tours in the city of your choice. So just send us a copy of your receipt and you can keep on learning about badass women in one of the six cities we do tours in.
I love it. That's so cool. Thank you so much. All right, Ms. Haley, we appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem.
We are absolutely going to have that info on the Museum Hack Tour that Haley mentioned the offer for on our show page. So if you need that info again, you can just check it out there. You don't need to, you know, pull over and write it down anywhere.
Also, lots and lots of thanks to Haley Milliman and Museum Hack for sharing such a unique and very unstuffy approach to history today. You can find Museum Hack online at museumhack.com to check out all the tours that they offer and the cities they offer them in. They are also on Twitter at Museum Hack.
Are you ready for some listener mail about food?
I sure am, especially since it's about food.
Since Haley and I diverged to talk about food that we were inspired to eat because of history and books, I thought it might be a good one to match up with this. This is from our listener, Michael, and it is about our Escoffier episode and particularly about frog's legs. He wrote, "Hi, Holly and Tracy. I just listened to your episode on Auguste Escoffier, and you mentioned about the English apprehension to eating frog's legs, and Auguste's consequent hiding of the fact that what was in a dish he was serving was frog's legs by calling it something else. You seem to agree that it did sound disgusting. I had the same idea. That is before I actually had them. Stay tuned. I have a rebuttal to that."
Oh, me too.
My wife is from Malaysia, and it is something that's often served, although it is stir-fried with garlic and other vegetables at coffee shops. As a side note, coffee shops typically refer to enclosed roadside restaurants, which are different from the open-air haka stalls. And at the time, I made a note to just eat what I was served and not ask what it was and just enjoy. This has served me well whenever visiting her family, and I have passed this on to our son for whenever we go to visit. One time visiting her before we were married, her parents took us to a coffee shop for dinner. Food is typically served in large dishes and placed on a large Lazy Susan to share around the table. One of the dishes looked like just small chicken or squab legs. I was so used to seeing chicken's feet, which can also be delicious, served at dim sum, so I thought that was what they were. And needless to say, they were awesome. I think I had 8 of them. I did ask her what those were, and her reply, "If they're good, just keep eating them. I will tell you later." She did tell me later that they were, obviously, frog's legs. Actually, our son has developed his mom's palate. He has tried chicken's feet and liked them at dim sum and stir-fried whole baby octopus. He even asked for more octopus, and there was no hiding what those were. I just wanted to share that story. Thank you for your podcast. My son actually asked to listen when he sees them in my podcast app. Michael. I apologize if we sounded like we were disgusted by frog's legs. I'm not. I have eaten them many times. But I think our hang-up was people being served food they were being lied to about.
Absolutely, yeah. I think I told you this story when we record and we have the sponsor break. We have sort of a minute where we're just letting there be some space in the recording file for the sponsor break to make it easier to edit that in later. And I told Holly the story about how I was a vegetarian at 2 different points in my life for periods of years. And the second time around, I was working as a massage therapist at a fancy destination spa, and they had a party for their members, and the chef had prepared both quail and frog legs. And I was like, "Well, I'm eating that. Like, sorry about my vegetarianism going out the window at this point to eat these frog legs." Yeah, my hangup was definitely serving people food that they would not necessarily appreciate eating without their consent in a sneaky way.
Yeah. I mean, the flip, right, to remember, if you recall that story of Escoffier, is that a lot of times these people wanted to eat at a fancy French restaurant, but they didn't understand the menu and were apparently not into asking what anything was. So they would just let the chef and the maitre d'hotel pick out the the menu, and then they would just eat it and be like, "Look at us eating fancy French food." So, you know, it's a little bit of trickery. Mm-hmm. It bothers me less knowing that they were sort of just willfully ignorant on that.
Yeah.
But that is the scoop. Yeah, frog's legs don't sound disgusting to me at all.
Nope. Sign me up.
Many times since I was a kiddo.
I say sign me up, but also, I mean, at this point, I have meat in my meals for far fewer meals than my non-meat meals.
Me too. I've definitely cut back a bunch. But then there are times I know I'm breaking the hearts of all of the vegetarians in our listening group. It's complicated. Everyone has a different relationship with food. If you would like to write to us, you could do so at historypodcast@howstuffworks.com. You can also find us everywhere on social media as Missed in History. You can go to our website, which is missedinhistory.com, and you will find every episode of the show ever, as well as show notes for the episodes that Tracy and I have worked on and occasional other goodies. And we encourage you to go subscribe to the show if you haven't already. You can do that at Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or really anywhere you get your podcasts.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.